Hey, so this is sort of a more personal episode. I wanted to open up to you guys about what I had just went through last night. It was a very intense, emotional evening. Literally, I've never really felt this way before, but I really came to the point of losing all hopes and there was no amount of positive thinking, optimism that could have worked for me last night. There was no amount of self-care, candle lighting or hot shower or journaling, meditation. None of that would have worked last night. I just had a really rough night of, my thoughts were going to places. I thought that if I died, nothing would have mattered. I thought that just in general, my life just didn't matter and that I had no reason for living, that I had no hope to keep going. I had nothing to live for. I sat on my bed and started crying and crying and crying because I have never really felt that way before. And I was really confused. I was really sad. I felt nearly depressed. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that the emotions were just so intense and so overwhelming, and that I just needed to be there with my emotions, that I just needed to be there for myself and not trying to avoid what was going on or trying to numb it or trying to run away from it. What I came to realize is that all of this time I have been trying to fill a void within with external things. Back in 2015, that's when I kind of started my journal of sorry, my that's when I started my journey of like self-discovery, self-exploration, really seeking out to understand who I was. And at that time, I thought that if I had just knew who I was, if I had just have that clarity in my life, if I had just knew what was my purpose in life, if I had just knew what were my strengths, what I was passionate about, things that I was good at, that I would have solved this mystery. That I would have solved all of the problems that I was having in my life. And so for the next 5 years, it was me reading a lot of personal development books. It was me diving a lot into entrepreneurship, learning about running a business, starting a business. It was a lot about me exploring different methods to make me happier, a more positive person. It was about me pursuing everything, all of the pleasurable things that I thought, would give me a lot of joy and happiness. It was me going on to travel by myself, going on traveling trips. It was me pursuing meditation in the hope that I could heal myself, that I would no longer be in pain, or if I could no longer be sad, that I would find ultimate joy and happiness and peace. Also, throughout those 5 years, the past 5 years, I had moments when I thought that if I had just found a group of people that were like-minded, that I would feel belonged. Or if I had had friends that were close to me, that were there for me, that I felt really connected with, that it would solve my emotion of not feeling belonged. I thought that, at some point as well, I thought that if I had just landed an internship or a job or have that clarity with my career, that it would solve that internal problem, or that internal feeling of that internal problem of uncertainty, not not knowing how to deal with uncertainty and the unknown, that it would give me some sort of sense of safety or stability. At some point, I thought that if I could just get out of a toxic romantic relationship, my life would be resolved. I would be in a much happier place. And at some point, I thought that if I had just get rid of all the people that were negative in my life would be solved. Like all of the sadness, the anger, the resentment, the frustration, the drama, all of it would just go and disappear, and that I would ultimately find joy and happiness. So for the past 5 years, I have been seeking for happiness in all sorts of way. And through those 5 years, I expected myself to find happiness, you know, because I think at the time for me, I was on a quest to find something. And so a part of me, in a way, hoped to find it, but also expected to find it. And the expectation that I had on myself for the past 5 years was that, well, I have come so far, I should be happier by now. I should have ultimate joy and freedom and peace, all of the work that I have done within myself and all of the things that I have moved on from, all of the things I have let go, the people, the places. I've done so much work. Why am I not happier? I have found my purpose. I have found what I wanted to do. I'm moving towards the career of my dream. I'm actively building a life of my dream. Why am I not happier? I'm living in a home with a beautiful bedroom, with my beautiful family, loving family. I have friends that are so kind and generous and compassionate, and they're there for me. People that are like-minded, I connect with them. I find people from all around the world that I connect with. Why do I still feel this void deep within that I don't belong and that I don't matter? So last night, all of it came down. All of it came down. Me sitting on my bed crying, feeling like I had absolutely nothing to live for. Because this whole time I have been trying to chase all of the pleasurable things in life that I thought would give me the freedom, the love, the happiness, everything that would solve my problem. You know, things that people truly talk about, like finding your passion, having a vision, creating a life of purpose. I was doing all of that, having a mindfulness practice. Trust me, I go to the gym, I meditate on a daily basis, I journal, I take care of myself quite well. And there was just always this lingering feelings of me feeling some way, somehow, not happy, not at peace. And then I realized that I had casted such a big expectation of myself to be happy. And that was the exact reason why I was so sad, because I expected myself to be happy all the time. And how unrealistic is that? And it made me realize that no matter what outside circumstances, whether positive or negative, whether they're going the way that I want it or not, none of those things contribute or responsible for my internal happiness and my internal peace. And I observed myself, you know, if things on the outside are going the way that I wanted, I would feel really happy for a brief moment, whether that could be a day, it could be a week, it could be a month. Usually it's not as long lasting as a month. I think it's usually like 2-3 weeks in and then it kind of comes back. So, you know, whether it's me starting a podcast, which is something that I've always wanted to do, I would feel really happy and excited. But then there would be that lingering feeling in my gut of like, well, how come this just doesn't feel fulfilling? This is exactly what I've always wanted to do. How come it doesn't fulfill me? you know, I wanted to dive into coaching and learning about spirituality and psychology and all of that. And as I was diving into it, I still felt like I wasn't fulfilled. And I really sat down and asked myself, what is going on? And I realized that it was really internal issues from a long, long time ago, since I was a kid, that I had never dealt with, that are lingering, and that none of the external things which I was pursuing were responsible for what was going on inside. So me feeling sad, lonely, you know, lost, none of that has to do with what was going on outside, because on the outside, everything just seems perfectly fine and aligned. It was what was going on the inside, the emotions that I have been suppressing growing up in really difficult environments and learning how to survive through those environments and adopting coping strategies that at the time, you know, in my childhood served me, but no longer serve me now that I'm in my adulthood. I would love to share with you guys some of the really intense, traumatic experiences that I had as a child. So my parents divorced when I was 3, and my dad cheated on my mom. So my mom left to go to another city. So I was left being taken care of by my grandparents for the most part. My mom was 21 at the time. Early 20s. So she definitely wasn't ready to be a mother. And emotionally, she was in a really difficult place herself. So she wasn't really there for me. And similar with my dad as well, he couldn't be there for me. So I grew up really independent as a child. And I was the only child at the time. So I would always play by myself, hang out around my grandparents if they weren't busy. And going into elementary school from grade 3 to grade 5, for those 3 years, I experienced really, really bad bullying. And for a long time, it really, really affected me. I remember in grade 3, my group of best friends, they decided that they didn't want to hang out with me anymore. They didn't want me to be a part of their friends group anymore. And so they, you know, as kids, and I'm not saying this to in any way blame them for anything, but I just wanted to tell this story. So they would get other people to be on their side and not be my friends. And so I felt really lonely. And I remember I would go home to my room, shut down the door, and cry alone. And that happened for straight 3 years, every day going to class, not having any friends, not being able to talk to anybody. And I got bullied to the point where I remember somebody spat in my food. Somebody would steal my school supplies. They would hide my shoes during nap time. They would verbally abuse me, make me feel really bad about myself. They would judge me a lot. There was this one boy in our class particularly that would verbally make sexual jokes towards me and made me feel super bad about myself. And throughout that time as well, I grew up in a really strict family. So my parents and grandparents, they all had really high expectations of me in terms of academic achievement. So growing up as a kid, I was the goody two-shoe, going home, studying all the time. I remember in grade 3, I wrote down in one of my journals that I wanted to go to Harvard for university. Like, I mean, that was the expectation that I had set on myself. I set really, really high expectations on myself, and I was also put in leadership roles in class and in school. So all of my teachers had really high expectations of me in terms of academic achievement, how I was showing up as a person in a day-to-day like classroom setting, how much I needed to be quote unquote a good role model for everybody, how I could never make a mistake, how I needed to be perfect or seem perfect. And yeah, I mean, all of that happened between the ages of 6 to 8. It was a lot. And I never really reflected back and acknowledged how much I've gone through, and how much of those internal issues are still lingering today. Because sometimes one of the reasons why, and I'm opening up with you completely honest and vulnerable here, I started this podcast in early 2019, around March. It was when I first recorded my first episode with a guest. And I kept delaying and delaying, and I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to edit it. I didn't want to publish it because a part of me felt really afraid to show up and be seen as not perfect, because I knew, and I will absolutely post this episode and you guys will see the progress that I have made over the episodes afterwards. But really, the first episode wasn't very good. And the fact that I kept delaying posting it, now that I have done over 10 episodes and I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was horrible. So I see my progress and I'm like, that perfectionist inside me came out, that critic inside me came out and say, you shouldn't. Like, that's why I kept delaying this podcast publishing, I think. And I called up my friend Catalina and I talked to her. I said, I don't know why I kept delaying this and I'm just so afraid. And she said, you know, I think you expect yourself to be perfect, but nobody is perfect. And you just have to post it and be vulnerable and be authentic and really show your progress and show the audience that, you know, the first episode is probably not the best one, but you make progress after that and you get better. And so anyways, yeah, that's one of the really traumatic experience that I had as a kid growing up that really had an effect on me now to this day as an adult. Tying back to the emotion of feeling lonely, feeling like I don't belong, feeling like I don't matter, feeling sad and depressed, and all of those emotions happened at such a young age that I never processed. And they linger to this point till now or yesterday when I realized that everything in my life is actually going really well, but this lingering emotions were there. And it really took me to just cry my eyes out, feeling like I have lost all hopes in life and not having a reason to live for, to really be able to process all of those really difficult emotions. Because as a kid, I had just shut down. I would just shut down all the time. I wouldn't talk to my parents about it because they were busy themselves with their own life and they weren't really available. And same thing with my grandparents. And I had no friends at school to talk about it with. So the only person that I had was myself. And at the time, as a kid, I didn't know how to build a relationship with myself. I had no idea what self-care was. All I did was just shut down and cry by myself and just try to hide myself as much as I could. Because I just thought that my feelings and my emotions, my opinions, everything that has to do with me just didn't matter to anybody. And so I had a really low level of self-worth in that sense as a kid. But interestingly enough, and I'm really thankful, and I don't know where this is coming from, but there was always a part of me that knew that I wanted to make a really positive impact and a really positive change in the world. I had always knew as a kid that I wanted to make a difference. And I knew that it was something that I was capable of doing. And I knew that that was my big dream. And so growing up through high school, I would always felt that really deep calling to make a positive change in the world. And I kept trying to hear it and pursue it and follow it. But throughout high school as well, I experienced a lot of bullying growing up. And because I had changed, I've been to, I think, 14 to 16 different schools. I honestly stopped counting because, yeah, it passed my two hands. You know, being the new girl was really difficult for me, because every time I would go to a new school, I would feel like I would have to impress a sea of strangers. I would just feel like I have to find a way to feel belonged again, find a group of friends, find somebody to hang out with, find somebody that I would connect with. I would, you know, every time that I moved schools, I would have to think about, well, who do I want to be? Like, who do I want to show up? It was kind of an opportunity to recreate a new sense of identity or a sense of self. And for me, going through middle school and high school with changing so many different schools, I didn't have a close-knit group of friends, long-term relationships. I was just so used to things changing all the time and being super comfortable with changes. And the worst bullying that I received was in my senior years of high school, was in grade 11 and 12. At that time, I had just moved to another school once again. And I remember I was running for vice president in student council in grade 12. And there was just so much pressure of not making a mistake, of showing up, being a role model, of being perfect, of treating everybody with kindness and being a good leader and all of that. It was all, I felt like the expectation that people had on me was so high. And I also set really high expectations of myself in senior year of high school. So that was one of the pressures. Another part was I was in a really difficult romantic relationships that also casted over the friendships that were happening at the time. I'm not going to go too deep into it. I feel like it would be another 30 minutes. But essentially, I think in senior year of high school, I was trying really hard to be a people pleaser. I would do things that the people around me liked to do. I would be that extra nice person. I would always try to be, quote unquote, the better person in all situations. I would always try to be more understanding and compassionate. And I would always blame myself for anything that went wrong. I would always feel like I was responsible for everybody's mistake, including my own. And I remember at one point I was sitting in English class, and I'm sorry if these memories are coming in as fragments right now. Like that's that's kind of how my memories are happening right now. So I was sitting in English class and my friend turned around and told me, "Hey, have you seen that new Twitter account about you?" And I said, "What Twitter account?" And it was "Shit Lindsay Says." And then on that Twitter account would be anonymous posts about things that I have either said in class or in the hallway, just like really random times throughout the day, things that I absolutely would not keep track of or even think twice about. And the way that it was broadcast, it just felt like it was really mean towards me. And I felt really, really bad. I think I came home and cried and I didn't know what to do. I honestly wanted to hide even more away than that experience that I had as a kid in elementary school. I truly wanted to hide. I didn't want to let myself be seen anymore. I was so afraid that if I let myself be seen for who I am, people would just judge me and that I would be bullied again. And so tying back to starting this podcast, I was once again, you know, that fear that was lingering through elementary school to high school to now, it's still there. It's like, I'm afraid of letting myself be seen because I'm afraid of judgment. And no matter, you know, it's funny because I've done a lot of, or at least I feel like I've done a lot of mindfulness work and healing and positivity, or, you know, shifting mindsets and etc. Sometimes the fears are just so big and they have been there for such a long time, like over 10 years. It takes time to resolve them. But yeah, like I'm super honest here in this episode about my biggest fear of starting this podcast was to let myself be seen for who I am, for the things that I have to say, for my experiences, for the potential mistakes that I make recording this episode, whether it's mispronouncing a word or using the wrong word, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, just that was my biggest fear of showing up as who I am. But from my meditation, I learned that with any fear, there's also a desire associated with it. To put that into context, my biggest fear is to be seen, but my biggest desire is to also be seen for who I am. And I totally believe that everything happens for you. Everything, you know, the universe happens to serve you. Things in the world, things in your life happen to serve you in the highest way possible, even though sometimes it doesn't seem like it. And so I think just me moving towards my dream, my purpose, my passion is asking a lot for me. It's asking me to have to truly show up as who I am with the fear of being judged, but having a lot of compassion for myself and knowing that as long as I don't judge myself, then that's okay. That's the only thing that I can ever control is whether I judge myself for it, because I cannot control how some people will judge me, whether positively or negatively, because me seeking out for positive, you know, affirmation, validation is just as addicting and harming as me trying to avoid negative judgment. And so I realized that the only person that I can truly have control over is myself and whether I choose to judge myself or not. So as long as I don't judge myself and as long as I show myself compassion, love, and understanding that showing up as myself authentically would serve me. And being okay with my own progress and not being perfect. Like right now, I'm expressing a lot of feelings and opinions and thoughts. But maybe 5 years later, when I look back at this episode, I'd be like, oh, what the hell did I just say? Like, that was weird. Being okay with that, being okay with not being perfect, because that's just so unrealistic. We change all the time. So how can we expect ourselves to be the same or the same standard of excellence, whatever that means? I feel like I truly just wanted to create this episode because I wanted to share that really important experience that I had yesterday that was really eye-opening for me. And my biggest lesson and takeaway from it is that, you know, if you ever feel like you have nothing to live for, or if you feel like there is absolutely nothing going right in your life, if I can tell you what I learned from my own experience is that if you have absolutely nothing to live for, the only person that you have to live for is yourself. That's the only thing, the only person that you ever have to live for is yourself. And in those times when you feel really low and really down, just let it be. Don't resist it. Don't try to avoid it. I know it sucks. I've been there. Trust me. It sucks. You cry your eyes out. You don't know what's on the other side. You wonder if these feelings would just stay here forever. But just let it be, because it will pass. And have a lot of compassion and understanding for yourself. Don't judge yourself. Don't expect yourself to be happy. Don't expect yourself to be perfect. Just like how I did with myself, because that caused a lot of emotional suffering, emotional pain. So I know there are a lot of positive posts out there or content out there for going into the new year of 2020. And that's amazing and that's great. But I also want to remind everyone that if you haven't worked with the things in the past, if you haven't let go of the things in the past or work with the old stories and the old feelings and emotions and traumas, realize that you don't have to suppress them. You don't have to hide them away. You can invite them and welcome them and work with them and release them and let them go, so that every step that you're taking now in the present moment and in the future will be much lighter and with more love and more peace. So thank you so much for listening to this little personal story, my episode. I'm very grateful that you are here and that you're very compassionate and very understanding of my story. So thank you very much. And if you would like to share your own experience, please feel free to message me, email me, direct message on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. I'm super open to hear about your experience. And if there's anything that I can do for you, please reach out. I would love to hear your experience. So thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the rest of this weekend, and Happy New Year.